Good morning.
Morning.
It is a little treacherous out there, but it sure is pretty. I just love seeing the snow come down, and it looks like we'll get a little bit today, maybe a little bit during the middle of the week, and another cold spell, but I'm kind of hoping maybe after that spring will come, so we'll see. So glad that you're here this morning to worship with us. We're continuing in our series, Investing in Eternity. And we're looking at it from a lot of different angles. And if you recall, last week I began my message by asking you to imagine that you have two bank accounts, one in heaven and one on earth. And after spending 40 minutes or so, you know, talking about it, you know, the question is where do we want to make the most of our deposits? Well, now I want you to imagine that you get a phone call from your bank, from your earthly bank, that is, from your manager. And she says to you, hey, all the money in your account is actually not yours. It belongs to somebody else. Now, I don't know how you would react to that, how you would respond. I suppose if you were nice, you might say something like, what do you mean it doesn't belong to me? It belongs to somebody else. That's my money. I worked hard for my money. I mean, every cent that I put in that account, I earned it. It's mine. That's if we were nice, right? The truth is, though, that everything that we have, our time, our abilities, our money, it all belongs to God. It's not ours. And we are simply stewards entrusted to wisely use all that God has given to us for His glory and for His purposes. And that's the title of this morning's message, Simply Stewards. Biblical stewardship is the privilege and the responsibility to manage all the resources of life for the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the beauty of your creation, even the snow that is currently falling. And Lord, we thank you that in a similar way, we desire to have your love and your mercy and your grace fall upon us, that we might be forever changed, that we might be beautified, that we might become more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, be our teacher here this morning, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Stewardship, as opposed to ownership, is not about losing stuff. I mean, we tend to think in those terms, you know, if I'm not an owner of something, you know, then I lose out on something. But it's not about losing stuff. It's actually about living in freedom. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before like that. But it frees us from the danger of idol worship and materialism. It shifts our focus from the temporal to the eternal. It transforms our hearts and our priorities in life. It fosters greater dependence upon God, and it promotes contentment and generosity, and it leaves a legacy of faithfulness and leads to eternal rewards. When you stop to think about it, biblical stewardship is really a means of great gain. Now, as I preach this message, and for that matter, all the messages in this series, I want you to know, in case you don't, I have not arrived yet. I'm not yet where I want to be when it comes to giving and being generous. I'm not. I know where I'd like to be, but I'm not there. Now, I've grown a lot from when I first became a believer, but I'm not yet where I want to be. I'm not content with my level of giving. My love for God and my trust in Him needs to deepen. So too does my love for others. If that doesn't happen, then my level of giving and generosity is, you know, stay where it is. So I'm asking God to stretch me, grow me, to mature me. And I want you to know that as I preach these messages, I'm preaching to myself. So I'm not here with a baseball bat ready to hit you over the head, telling you, you're not giving enough, you're not investing in eternity enough, because none of us are. For us to fully appreciate and enjoy God's gifts, we need to recognize the illusion of personal ownership, reaffirm God's ownership of all things, and embrace our role as stewards. And so I'd like for us to start by looking at the illusion of personal ownership. You know, there was a young boy who was given a beautiful gold-plated watch by his grandfather. He loved it. He would show it to everybody. He polished it, kept it shiny, and then one day his grandfather actually asked for it back, to which the young boy really he had a conniption. He said, "No, it's mine." And the grandfather gently responded, "No, my boy, it's not. I only gave it to you for a time." You know, we tend to be like that little boy. But personal ownership is just an illusion. We are simply stewards of all that God has given to us. And besides that, all of our hard-earned money always ends up in somebody else's pocket anyway, right? I mean, I don't know if you've thought about it, but where does your money go? You get your money, it comes in. You know where it goes? Grocery stores, department stores, Amazon, Apple, restaurants, gas stations, movie theaters, car dealerships, utility and insurance companies, hotels, Vrbos, Airbnbs, homeowners associations. And then there's the government, right? Income tax, sales tax, gas tax, Medicare, Social Security, local taxes, and even school district taxes. Try not paying your taxes on your home and see how long you live there. Is it really yours? And after leaving an inheritance, if you're so able to leave an inheritance, any money that's left over will ironically go to the funeral home. Our money is not ours. All our money ends up in somebody else's pocket. Oh, we may get something in return for it, but it won't last. It won't last. And even if it did, as I mentioned last week, you can't take it with you when you die. Jesus tells this story in Luke chapter 12. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" It's a sobering thought. Job was right. Job was right when he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." The psalmist takes that sentiment and says it this way, "For when they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave." And then the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." That's the reality. So to fully appreciate and enjoy God's gifts, we first have to recognize the illusion of personal ownership. Because if we don't see it as an illusion, then we're going to live as if it's a reality. But just recognizing the illusion of personal ownership is not enough. We must also reaffirm God's ownership of all things. Everything that we possess, our time, our wealth, and even our lives ultimately belong to God. He is the rightful owner of all things. As the psalmist writes, the earth is the Lord's, and all that it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. In the book of Haggai, the Lord speaks and says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. And in Chronicles we read, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. And then I love how Paul takes these truths and summarizes them in one sentence in Romans 11. He says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. That pastor and theologian A.W. Pink commented on this particular verse, and he adds a little bit to it that I think is just so profound. He says, nothing out of God can move him or be a motive to him. His will is his rule, his glory, his ultimate end. For from him as the first cause, and through him as the preserving clause, and to him as the final clause are all things. Think about that. From him, through him, and to him are all things. I mean, even our bodies belong to God. First, by right of creation. Second, by recreation or redemption. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. As Christians, we recognize God as creator and the owner of all things. All we are and have belongs to him. John Wesley said once, there is no portion of our time that is our time, and the rest God's. There is no portion of our money that is ours, and the rest God's. It is all his. He made it all, gives it all, and he has simply trusted it to us for his service. The way we use our time and our money and our talents is a matter of great importance to God, because it is a matter of worship. Having now exposed the illusion of personal ownership and reaffirmed God's ownership of all things, we must now learn to embrace our role as stewards. A steward is a person entrusted to act in another's name or to whose care anything is committed. A steward is someone who is appointed to manage the affairs of another. And a good steward manages and cares for what has been entrusted to him. Poor stewardship, on the other hand, amounts to withholding from God that which is rightfully his. If you want to know the truth, it's actually a form of theft. Now, there's a lot of talk today about stewardship in government. They don't use that word, but we know that that's what they're talking about. And regardless of what you think of Elon Musk and Doge, no one should applaud government waste and mismanagement and misuse of our tax money. Right? Government entities that collect taxes from the people are responsible to use that money in an appropriate way, wisely, for the good of the country. See, we're watching this be played out right in front of our eyes. But the same thing is true spiritually. We are to do the same thing with all that God has given us. Biblical stewardship is the privilege and the responsibility to manage all the resources of life for the glory of God. God is the owner. We are merely stewards of all that is His. I mean, think about a manager of a business, right? I mean, really, what's his job? His or her job is to act in the best interest of the owner, to manage things well, to turn a profit, to ensure that that business is well suited to go on for years to come. And God has done the same thing for us. He has entrusted to us all His resources. We are His stewards, His managers. And we are to manage what He has given to us in a way that aligns with His purposes and brings Him glory. I don't know if you're familiar with a gentleman by the name of Ron Blue, but he wrote a book called Master Your Money. And he said this, that stewardship is the use of God-given resources for the accomplishment of God-given goals. So what makes a good steward? Of all the things that we could talk about that makes up a good steward, I think there's one thing in particular. And I think Scripture is very clear on it. I think it's the key characteristic. I think it is the greatest characteristic that makes for a good steward. And that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul writes and he says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." The New American Standard translated that they may be found trustworthy. Or the New International 84 says that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And Jesus told us in Luke chapter 12, he says, "A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. And I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns." And then a few chapters later in Luke 16, he says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? See, stewardship of worldly wealth reflects our readiness for greater spiritual responsibilities. Pastor and author Stu Weber says that all of us are to live up to our full potential by God's strength, with His wisdom, for His kingdom. This stewardship is comprehensive. It includes time, talents, spiritual gifts, energy, personalities, experiences, attitudes, and material resources. So what are some things that we're called to steward? Now that we know that faithfulness is a key component to being a faithful steward, what are we actually called to steward? Well, there are many things. I'm going to give you three here this morning. The first is creation. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Then we read in Psalms 8, speaking of man, that you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. And you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. All creation belongs to God. And he calls us to steward his creation. We are caretakers of what is his. And we're to care for and steward his creation responsibly. Well, how do we do that? See, it's one thing to say, hey, we're the steward, great, but how do we do that? You know, this is where when you approach scripture and you see a general principle, okay, you gotta start thinking, how does this actually apply in real life? How do I flesh this out? Well, let me give you a few ideas to stimulate your thinking. I thought maybe at first I ought to put a disclaimer here, you know, like the following ideas do not necessarily represent the authors, you know, but just take it for what it's worth, okay? First of all, how can we steward creation? You can care for your pets and respect other wildlife. Proverbs 12, verse 10 says, the godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. Let me get more specific. Don't feed the animals when you're not supposed to. There's a reason for that. Don't be a dumb tourist and take a selfie with an elk or a bison or some other big animal. I saw that. Somebody just got a jab. I mean, if you get on YouTube, you can see these crazy tourists all over the place. I don't know, Yellowstone is a magnet for crazy tourists who just love to get up close and personal with wildlife. And listen, there's a reason for that too. Not just because you could die, but because if that animal attacks you, they're going to have to put that animal down. See how practical God's word is? Support reforestation and conservation efforts. Preserve natural habitats. In other words, don't walk where you're not supposed to walk. I see that all the time. Whether it's the sand dunes up in, you know, Michigan or the geysers out in Yellowstone, people just love to go where they're not supposed to go. And then they do damage to the environment. Don't litter. Advocate responsibly for environmental policies and then vote accordingly. Conserve resources. I'm not a nut here, but conserve resources like water, electricity, and gas. I still have a problem when my wife, who may or may not be watching right now, leaves the lights on in the house during the day. Why? Why? I know it doesn't cost that much. It's a fraction of our budget. I mean, but why? So I tend to walk around and turn off the lights, you know, before I leave. But we can conserve water, electricity. If you lived in California, you know the importance of conservation. We could fix leaks. Sometimes we don't do that. We just kind of let it go. We could use less plastic, except for straws. I hate those paper straws. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise, there are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all that he has. We can reduce waste. I recycle mainly because they gave me a bin to put recycling stuff in there. There's composting. We can reuse materials. Don't dump hazardous waste or materials in places or in ways that you shouldn't. Just common sense. We can plant trees, flowers, gardens, mow your lawn, pull weeds. Now, this one I really wasn't sure about including, but I just got to. Pick up your dog's poop when he defecates on your neighbor's lawn. Okay? Now, don't misunderstand me. Stewarding creation is not about going green. It's about honoring God. It's about loving your neighbor and caring for our world. And it's about leaving a blessing for future generations. That's what it means to steward creation. Another thing we're to steward is spiritual gifts. God has given to all his children spiritual gifts for serving him and others. These are special enablings that go beyond our natural talents and abilities and skills that also God has given to us. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Now, all those things that Paul mentioned doesn't let everybody else off the hook. Not everybody has the gift of mercy. Not everybody has the gift of leadership or teaching or whatever it might be. But there are going to be times when we are called to do those very things. But there are certain people God has gifted in a unique way for this. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So biblical stewardship involves using these spiritual gifts along with our natural talents and abilities to serve him and one another. The last area of stewardship that I'm going to mention here this morning is the gospel itself. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians that we speak as men approved by God, entrusted with the gospel. Then in Timothy, he writes to Timothy and he says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, of which I have been entrusted." But guess what? Paul and the other apostles weren't the only ones entrusted with the gospel. Everyone who has been born again by the Spirit of God has been entrusted with the gospel of God. We are all called to faithfully proclaim the gospel and to live it out. Think about the early church. In Acts 8, after the stoning of Stephen, we read this, that there arose a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Except the apostles. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Isn't that amazing to think about? You know, Jesus had come to his disciples and he told them, "Remain in Jerusalem until they're clothed with power from on high, and then you are to be my witnesses, both here in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world." And up through chapter 7, where were they? They were still back in Jerusalem. I believe God sent that persecution, and it caused the church to scatter. Everyone except the apostles. The big kahunas, you know, the leaders of the church, they stayed in Jerusalem. And the gospel spread because people like you and me took it with them wherever they went. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. If we're entrusted with the gospel, we need to know what it is. Simply put, it's the story of redemption. It's the story of man's fall. It's the story of God putting into action a plan to redeem his fallen creation. And he did so by sending Jesus, his only son, who lived a perfect life, and then gave his life on the cross for sinners like you and me. He took our punishment upon himself, and he died in our place. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, breaking the power of sin and death. And the scripture says that all who have put their faith and their trust in him have forgiveness of sins, receive the gift of eternal life, and become a child of God. There are other ways of explaining the gospel, but in a nutshell, it's what God has done for us through Christ at the cross. And he continues to work in us to make us more like his son. So the question you need to ask yourself is, have I believed the gospel? Have I trusted in Christ's substitutionary death on the cross? Do I believe that he rose from the dead, that he's alive today? And are you willing to surrender your life to him? I hope you've done that. If not, I'd love to talk with you after service. Besides being a child of God, I believe that preaching the gospel is the greatest privilege we could ever have as Christians. Creation, spiritual gifts, and the gospel are just a few of the things that we're called to steward here on earth. Remember, biblical stewardship is the privilege and the responsibility to manage all the resources of life for the glory of God. Now, next week, Ryan's going to point out a few other things that we're supposed to steward. We should be truly grateful for all of God's gifts and for the privilege that he gives us to manage those things. But we must also remember that stewardship is a responsibility. We are responsible to faithfully steward the manifold gifts of God for his glory and the good of others. Remember what I said at the beginning. Stewardship is not about losing stuff. It's about living in freedom and leaving a legacy of faithfulness behind. You'll probably never get a call from the bank telling you that all the money in your account belongs to someone else. But it does. Ultimately, it belongs to God, as does everything else we have. We are simply stewards, entrusted to wisely use all that we have been given for his glory. So let's embrace our role as stewards, and let's use our gifts and our resources to build up the body of Christ and enlarge the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for our time together here this morning and for your word to us. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a deeper understanding of these truths, that we would truly live out our lives as stewards, not seeing ourselves as owners of anything, rather that we are recipients of all sorts of good gifts that you have given us to use to further your kingdom, to bring glory to you, and to better our world. Lord, use us, we pray, to that end. In Christ's name, amen.